Hello and welcome to Soul Ignition with your host, Jana, where it is my mission to help you tune into, hone, fully trust your intuition, and take inspired action to create a life that you are so fully and completely in love with. I'll be sharing inspiration from my own life, as well as powerful interviews with some of our top thought leaders in the field of self-development, of coaching, and all heart-centered entrepreneurs that have a story to share, a story to inspire us to tune in, to allow ourselves to be fully led from a place of full faith and trust in the magic, the miracles that come as a result of. We'll be talking about moving through surrender, allowing ourselves the space and time to fully get clear on what we want, and empowering ourselves to have the courage to take the action that our hearts are calling us to create lives and businesses that we love. We'll also deep dive into different elements of business when you're fully led from this space and what that gets to look like when you scale. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm sending you all my love. Jana. Welcome to another edition of your Soul Ignition podcast. Oh my gosh, I am so excited. Today I have the privilege of interviewing Kelsey Furlong. She is a business and leadership mentor. She works with visionary women who are called to show up in full potency to lead the creations of new paradigms in life and business. And that really resonates because I've been feeling the call on my heart to expand and evolve and go next level in my business. And I know so many of our listeners are. What I want to preempt here is what we're going to be diving into is what it means to be a visionary leader in the new age and what that means for you as you embark on your next level in your journey. So without further ado, Kelsey, I'd love for you to take it over. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and what it is that you do.
Yeah, hi. So I'm really, really excited. We were just talking about how our energy is buzzing, right? So like you said, I'm a business and leadership mentor, and I work with women who are here to be undeniable, magnetic forces of change in this world, who are here to do whatever the fuck it takes.
Explicit marking, yeah.
Listen, whatever the fuck it takes to have the life and follow the calling that their soul is being pulled to follow, and showing up undeniably to do so. So, oh God, I'm just so excited. I love talking about this.
Yeah, I feel like our conversation is going to go into so many beautiful directions. Why I feel that this is in such alignment right now, especially during this new age of awakening, there's so many leaders that have come forth really with this deep desire of connection, of expansion as a collective. And what I'm hearing when you're sharing about what it means to be a visionary leader in the new age is that it's not a lone wolf path. And that as we're having this conversation, I'm feeling this really intense activation in my body of the communion and that reconnection of our soul tribes and being able to really birth new potent paradigm shifts in record time as we come together to do this work.
Yeah, totally. And you hit the nail on the head, right, with connection. So I believe, I know that we are here to experience connection and presence. And when we can cultivate those things, we can be fully then embodied in the human experience and here for everything that that entails. And we need to show up as embodied leaders. That's the new paradigm leadership that I talk about when I'm talking about this. And for women in particular, it is the new feminine leadership. And it is showing up in that full feminine potency. It is showing up feeling safe to be in your power and to be in your sensuality, right? To be in that flow and to be balanced and to lead by example. And so one of the things that I talk a lot about, and it is something that is always on my mind, is integrity and what it means to show up with integrity. And that's the new leadership that we're looking for. It is that being an integrated whole person, right? Not losing yourself, not losing sight of your vision, not compromising the integrity of your vision, not trusting anybody more than you trust yourself. Mm. One of my favorite quotes is non ducor duco. It means I am not led, I lead. And it is so, it's so critical that we can lead ourselves and trust ourselves above and beyond anybody else. And it doesn't mean that we're not connecting. It doesn't mean that we're not hearing other people's beliefs and feeling into other people's experiences and being able to look through someone else's lens. But what it means is that we're always able to come back to ourselves and to come center and to be able to have enough clarity to take the next step in the direction that we're called to go in.
Mm, yeah. And I love that you, that was one of the things that really called to me when I was looking at your profile. And initially, I always feel a call that's very energetic, that's very soul-led. And then I like to take a step back and read and really take in what your message is being shared from your soul. And when I read that is, I'm not led, I lead. I love that. And I'd like us to actually dive into that a little bit, because there are listeners on every path of this journey, on every different, everything is perfect. We're all exactly where we need to be. And I actually see two sides of this, because there was a period of my life where I am not led, I lead came from ego.
Yeah.
It came from a place of, I have to do everything. I am everything. It was all me. And I had to really get dropped to my knees and surrender and allow myself to fully be led from higher self-expression and then step out into the world and then reintegrate that from a place of, I am not led by the world outside of me. I lead from that place of higher self-expression.
Yeah, absolutely. That resonates with me too. And I suspect that the majority of us are having a similar experience, and that's part of the work that we're doing, right? That's the game. Yeah. So, you know, it is a matter of digging in to all parts of ourselves and being radically honest and taking full accountability with why, about why we are having the experience that we're having, and being able to, you know, let me say this. When I started out on this journey, and I'm going to use my business as my example here, because it's really the thing that has helped me facilitate most of my healing. You know, they say owning a business is the fast path to healing. And yes, I'm here
for
that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And when I started out on this, if you had told me that I was going to be doing what I'm doing right now, if you had told me that my spirituality would be this developed and that I would be this directly connected to source, that would not have resonated with me. I don't want to say I wouldn't have believed you, because it is only through taking one step after another and being in aligned action and cultivating the ability to show up presently, right? To be present and to show up with a presence as an output of that, because that's what that is, right? That I have now the clarity to be able to tell what is the voice of my ego and what is the voice of my soul, mm-hmm. and how do I negotiate between the two, right? How do I integrate the two so that I can be embodied and be here for the human experience and be following that soul calling and be doing the work that I know that I'm here to do and stay centered and true in that leadership. And so I guess one of the things that just came through for me too is the reminder that, you know, when I talk about leadership and I talk about leading ourselves, that's for me the work. It is the thing that if I can lead myself, then I can lead others, because I can teach them to lead themselves as well. And that's what's so important to me. Everything that I do, that the clients that I work with, the message that I'm putting out, it's all about autonomy. And it's not an ego-driven, I'm separate. It's not a, you know, I'm American, so I can say this. It's not an American societal, every man for himself-driven belief. It is a, I trust the divinity within myself. Mm. Because I hear it so loudly and clearly. And I have been now in practice of my faith for so long that I know when I'm about to mislead myself.
Mm.
And that's that accountability piece. it's not that someone else has misled me in any case. It's that I've misled myself.
Hmm. Yes, and that's so powerful. Can you create that distinction for the listener of how you went from not really being able to tell between the ego and that expression of self, and how you now are in a place where you kind of, you call yourself on your own bullshit, right? Like that's important. I don't know how else to put it, but when you're misleading yourself, it's clear. Like you can feel that shit in your body.
Yeah, you can feel it in your body, 100%. And you feel a lot of stuff in your body, right? You can feel bullshit in your body and you feel truth in your body. And it all depends on your conditioning and the experience that you're having, your ancestry, right? Your genetics, the generations before you, and what has been coded into your DNA that doesn't even actually fucking belong to you. And a major part of the work that I had to do, I'll tell you a little bit about my background. So I had lifelong anxiety. I'm 36. And until I was 32, from the time I was about 8, I remember having my first panic attack when I think I was in third grade. And I remember going to the ER because I was hyperventilating. And the doctors were just telling my parents, you know, she's hyperventilating. Here's a paper bag. Here's a pink pill, whatever, whatever, right? Nobody was talking about why an 8-year-old is fucking hyperventilating, but that's another thing. So throughout my life, I was really, really struggling with anxiety, depression, eating disorders. I have fibromyalgia because everything manifests in the body. And it came to a point, it was about 4 years ago, where everything fucking fell apart for me. I lost my corporate job, which I hated. I felt like I was in a cage. I was completely disempowered. I had no voice. I was just consistently getting hit with walls. You know, when you are a force, when you are an energy that asks others to rise and they are not willing to go with you, they will shut you down at every available turn. And that was that describes my whole life up until, you know, the time when I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. This is somebody else's dream. None of this life that I have been trying to build actually is what I want. It doesn't belong to me. I'm unhappy. I'm literally sick. I can't get out of bed most days. I'm behind. I'm living, you know, in a 2-bedroom apartment with a bunch of junk from my job because they were sending me stuff constantly to give out to my accounts. And I worked in beauty. So I was also every day facing a lot of brainwashing about what women are supposed to be, what they're supposed to look like, how they're supposed to show up. All of that wild washing, as I like to call it, that I was supposed to be perfectly polished and perfectly on point. And, you know, relationship after relationship with men who like were perfectly nice, as I would have said, but like I couldn't identify what was actually wrong and the victimhood and that's a whole nother thing. And I mean, it all just fell apart all at once too. I lost my job because I didn't care. I couldn't do it anymore. I literally couldn't. Mm-hmm. I found myself homeless. I got dumped by the first man that I had ever been intimate with that actually had integrity. And throughout the 6 months that I was dating him, I was able in his presence to literally have a different experience in my body. I got to feel what it felt like to feel safe and to be relaxed and have fun in a way that was new. And that's really what this is all about. It's about recoding the way that we are in our body and the experience that we're having and creating new pathways, right? That's what healing is. And he dumped me and called me very nicely out on all of my shit and said, you know, you have a lot of work to do.
It's a good and man.
He is. And for the first time, I didn't argue because this was somebody who, unlike basically every other person I had ever known, actually modeled something that I respected. Mm. Because my standards are insanely high. I hold myself to an intense standard of integrity. And up until that point, I had never seen anybody else who modeled that. But what I had been hearing my whole life was your standards are too high. You expect too much of people. You're too intense. You're too much. Or on the flip side, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're just pretty, right? Like I was the pretty funny one. Fuck that. So, I mean, yes.
You are the pretty funny one and all of the things.
And yeah. I'm also incredibly wise and incredibly tapped in. And I represent a truth that not a lot of people are willing to hear because I threaten their worldview. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember what your original question was, but I know I was talking about myself, which of course is my favorite subject right now. So,
which is perfect. You actually, you know, this is such an intuitive conversation. It's important for the listener to hear because I do send out questions to structure the conversation, but this is always a very flowy, non-thought oriented conversation that creates really beautiful healing opportunities for you as a listener. And it's interesting because two out of the first three questions have been answered for you. So I'm not going to go back and have her re-answer them. And that's the beauty of it. I feel like it feels really yummy when we just kind of flow and jive with it. And I love that you shared that we make ourselves sick. And when what I keep hearing, and this was very true for me on multiple occasions in corporate, is that I'm great at what I do because the level of care and ownership that I take with every job that I have ever had, I act like the ownership and I resonate with the authority of the ownership. And so I'm resonating with you on this where I've never heard anybody say it that way. And I was like, yeah, I literally, my energy walking into a space actually forces everything in that space to have to rise to a heightened level of awareness and frequency. And that is really jarring for the ego in the room of most corporations. I had to be confronted numerous times with my corporate leadership asking, how are you hitting these numbers? How are you doing this? And wanting to like basically take me down, because if I would have told them I woke up 40 minutes early and meditated and set intentions and called my soulmate humans in and had miraculous, profound conversations every single time a person walked in and it was like they were my soul human, they probably would have put me in an insane asylum, you know?
Yeah.
You get it.
I do. And you know, the thing that happens, I was so sick for so long, and I got to say this, and this took me a long time to be able to publicly say, but there are generations of stories about mental health and about hypochondria in my family. And I learned very young that being sick is a safe way to get attention and it's a safe way to get out of doing things because I was good at a lot of what I did and what I wasn't good at, I felt really bad at about, right? So my body learned very, very young to get sick. And so part of this journey for me has been unraveling, undoing, disentangling all of that coding that I have with the anxiety and the pain in the body, like literally the crippling pain, and allowing myself to feel well and to show up as bright as I am and to feel safe doing so. And, you know, in regards to the example with corporate work and just in general, when you don't feel safe to be in that power, you repress the energy and it poisons us. It has to flow out. And because I was so sick for so long, you know, and I actually struggle to talk about this because I claim zero victimhood anymore. I got over that a long time ago. And it was the first step to all of this. So I want your listeners to really hear that there is no victimhood. It just is. And everything has been working for me. I am in this amazing place and I can see every connection to every experience that I've ever had. And it all makes perfect sense. And I'm grateful for all of it. And I didn't have those tools. You know, I had therapists telling me for years and years and years, you need to meditate, you need to do this, you need to do this. And I just was like, they're like, practice mindfulness. And I was like, what the fuck does that even mean? Because I had literally never experienced what that felt like in my body. And when you have not experienced what something feels like, it is very, very difficult to conceptualize it. That's why so many of us, when we are doing our vision work or we are, you know, trying to manifest or we are wanting to step up into that next level of our calling, if we've never experienced it, it's really difficult. I mean, frankly, that's why having a mentor is so important, right? Because they can help us shape that, help us see that, help us believe that it's possible. And then a good one can help you actually step into the embodiment of it so that you can become the person that you need to be in order to have the level of success that you are really wanting and do the thing that you're feeling called to do. And so you have to learn to play the game. That's really what it is, you know, and it's really nuanced, but actually it's also really simple. Once you figure it out and you have that kind of awakening and you surround yourself with those other energies that are, you know, tuned in and tapped in and are resonating with you and asking you to rise. And that's the connection, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you said that, I had this flash in my mind as I had attended this event with, it was a Spirit Junkie Masterclass event 2 years ago, I think it was now, but Ra Goddess, she's an amazing speaker. And I walked up to her and I had said, you know, I'm feeling this calling and I don't know what to do because I was still, you know, right at the end of just leaving my corporate job and starting my coaching business. And, you know, in the first year, you're still figuring out who you are. There's so many, it's supposed to look this way or look that way. And I walked up to her and I asked her and she said, you've spent your whole life lifting others. It's time for you to surround yourself with those that are there to lift you.
Yeah.
And that is the power of this community. And I know that you came into my awareness because of Caitlin Pasternak.
Yeah, yeah.
And what a beautiful sister she is. Her and I got on a podcast and oh my gosh, it was just like as if I'd found a long lost sister.
That's, yeah, I mean, same. It's like, you know, when you... that person or that energy comes into your sphere, it's an immediate resonance if you are paying attention. And that's actually what one of your questions was earlier, was how, you know,
how do you know
the ego and the intuition, and you just know, and you get better at it through practice. And it's, again, it's just doing the thing. So, you know, one step, and even if you don't know if it's the right step, because you build confidence through action and you build clarity through action, and it's the lessons that have to come with it. We tell ourselves like, I'm going to do the thing when I feel confident, but you don't get confident through inaction. You actually get more insecure and you get more resistant when you don't take action. Mm-hmm. And that resistance starts to solidify and it makes it harder and harder and harder and harder. So it's like, just do the fucking thing. Because if you don't, what I know, and I can tell you from it happening to me several times in my adult life, is that the universe will come in and it will rip the rug right out from underneath you. And it will force you to do the fucking thing.
Divine intervention every time, And I want to speak to this because I keep hearing it coming through. I want the listener to really understand it all goes back to embodiment. So if you can't take the action when you're confident, you become confident in your faith and trust that regardless of how scary it might feel, that taking this action will only lead you to an outcome of being held, supported, and led from a place that is just wanting you to thrive.
Yeah. And you know what just kind of just came for me is the reminder that sometimes we put ourselves into a situation where we embody the version of ourselves that we want to be or the experience that we want to be having. And then we're not ready to stay there because we don't have the capacity yet to stay there. And so it kicks us right back to where we were. And oftentimes we get discouraged. But the thing is, keep going, right? I mean, to one of your questions is, what would I attribute my success to in starting my business? And I'm going to also expand on that and just say healing and becoming well and, you know, doing all of the things that I do. And the lifestyle that I have supports all of that, right? So that's a big part of it. It's something I'm actually very proud of, is because I started with nothing. I pulled out my 401k. The universe was very kind to me. It sent me a $5,000 class action lawsuit settlement that I actually started my business with when I was literally running out of money after I had been trying for a year. Yeah. So my success is from going all in. I'm extreme. And it is no excuses, no holding back, taking radical and inspired action and learning to trust myself and learning to trust God and letting my faith work for me, letting it show up for me, because that's the other thing. When we don't actually practice it, we lose it. With no risk, there's no faith. It doesn't work that way. You have some surface faith, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then the other things I'll say, like learning to be uncomfortable, learning to be good at being uncomfortable, learning to be fluid, and focusing on integrity. I focus on sustainability and integrity, and that I don't practice anything I don't preach. Or I don't preach anything I don't practice myself. Everything for me is all about living intentionally. And I'm kind of over the word authentic, right? But just showing up and letting people see me.
Yeah, rooted in a truthful place of spirit. That's what real authenticity is, right? It's not this authenticity that I think I have to show up as this person and be authentic. Because sometimes I feel, and especially years, and I remember back, you know, one of my ex-boyfriends, he says, I'm just being honest. No, you're being an asshole. Like, no, get over yourself, Karen. Like, you're just being a dick and you're using it as your way of like, oh, well, I'm telling you the truth. No, you're not. You're telling me what you want me to hear, what you want to say to control the situation.
Yeah. I find that narrative, that sort of preemptive, I'm just being honest, or if I'm being honest, to be really lame. I find it to be a really defensive, like, can we just assume honesty? That's the other thing. My success truly comes from my commitment to radical honesty. I don't exaggerate. I mean, it is like literal, like what you see is what you get. And my commitment is that as soon as I recognize that I have exaggerated or that I have maybe misled somebody or I have omitted the truth, I go back and I fix it.
Yeah, that's human, right? Myself.
Yeah, I'm not perfect. I just go back and I'm like, you know what? I spoke out of line. Or, you know, one of the things, this is so silly, but, and the reason I do this is because it's a confidence building thing. Like I'm fascinating and I know that, and there is no reason that I should need to exaggerate anything about myself. So for example, a couple of years ago, kind of at the beginning of all of this, so I guess actually it was several years ago now, I went to South America for 3 months and prior to that by myself. And prior to that, I had gone to Peru for a couple of weeks by myself. So all in all, I was gone for about 3.5 months. But it was really like 3 months was the long stay. And I found myself telling people that I had gone to South America for 4 months. And I was like, why am I doing that? Because is that because 3 months isn't interesting enough? It's not bold enough. It's not badass enough. Like, what the fuck is that, Kelsey? 3 months is dope, right? Like don't exaggerate. Yeah. It's just silly, easily correctable thing. And I know like to some people it might be like, oh, that's so petty, but it's not. Like, I'm not here to make assumptions about anybody or anything. I leave no room for confusion about who and what I am and what I'm up to.
I want to speak to that because it's really important because it speaks to the mindset of our collective. When you said, oh, isn't that petty? Actually, no. What's petty is lying.
Yeah.
What's petty is misleading. What's petty is sweeping the white little lies under the rug as if you think your ass is going to get away from them.
I mean, let's talk about that. Lying is toxic and it kills us. And it ages us. And
it disconnects us from ourselves.
That's right. And lying comes in the form of, I mean, first of all, people lie to themselves and that's why they lie to other people. But lying comes in so many forms. If you are not living in alignment with who you actually are, if you are not speaking up and speaking your truth, if you're in a relationship where you are compromising any part of yourself or any part of what you are wanting and feeling called to do, if you're working a job that drains you and doesn't fuel you, if you're convincing yourself that things are fine and they're really not, that's lying. And I look at pictures. So like I said, I'm 36 and I look at pictures from 10 years ago. And I look older than I do now. And yeah,
I am 37 in May. I look 10 years younger than I did then.
I mean, 1,000% the same for me. And that is the philosopher's stone. That is this inner alchemy that leads to this radiance, this youthfulness. And let me say this. This is another interesting kind of digression that's coming through for me right now. I love this. Our society is so fixated on youthfulness. And it is so fixated on staying young, and people have fucking Peter Pan syndrome like crazy. And nobody wants to grow the fuck up. Nobody wants to take accountability. And I get it. Part of that is like, you know, when you're young and you don't have any autonomy and you don't like get to really have a say so, and you have to go to a school that, you know, teaches you shit that you like know you don't really care to know, or you know it's lies. Like you might not know it's lies, but your soul knows it's lies, right? Like it's all structure, but none of it is actually working for you. The last thing you want when you hit 18 and like you're in your 20s and you're just trying to fucking figure it out and you're floundering is more structure. And that's all supported by this, especially for women. You know, men are supposed to be men, but first of all, our definition of what a man is pretty warped. I think that's a whole nother episode.
Yes.
And for women, okay, so men are like, yeah, man. And we're like, yeah, girl. I don't like that. Because I will tell you that the second I had the awareness, the second the flash came into my consciousness that that was not doing me any favors, and that part of my struggle was that I was fighting getting a little older rather than stepping into the wisdom and the power that comes with being a woman, I was set totally free. totally free. And so when it's such this like backwards thing, right? We get it so wrong. We're focusing on our youth and it's aging us in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And we can just let go and surrender into the flow and step into our feminine womanly power. In this case, I assume most of your listeners are women, or they identify as women, and it changes everything.
It does.
You know, and that's why I talk so much about potency, and that potency comes from developing your presence. It comes from being integrated, being whole, right? If you think about integrity, we tend to think about it from a moral standpoint, which I don't like because morals are subjective, right? What's wrong for you is maybe not what's wrong for me, because we're all having a unique experience. We are literally all looking at things from a different lens. No matter how similar we are, we're not the same. Mm-hmm. And whoo, yeah.
Right. And that's the beauty of these kinds of conversations. Like, they go into all these different directions and there are questions, but that you've literally covered all of them. Yeah. They don't need to be structured in that. And I trust that what you just said is so powerful with regards to who set the damn rules anyway? They're all made up.
That's right. And things only exist the way that they do because, and this goes back to leadership, some audacious person said, hey guys, we're going to do it this way. And enough fucking people followed that it became a thing. And literally we all have the opportunity, and I'm going to be bold and say the obligation, to fucking do that.
Yeah.
To make things happen in the world. The visions that we have are on purpose. They are not on accident. They are not pipe dreams, unless you just decide that they're going to be a pipe dream. You know, and ideas are sacred. They're sacred. We're sacred. The human experience is sacred. Mm. And it has to be honored. Mm. That's what I want to say about integrity, and then I'll let that go. I think of it from a physical standpoint, right? From when you think about it, something that has integrity, it's structurally sound. It means that all of the parts of the entity are integrated to form a whole. And when something is whole, it is at its most structurally sound. And that's where power comes from. Sustainable, pure, heart-led power. Not ego power. Not power from money. Not power from status. And we all know money's not the problem. Okay, so let's be clear. I know your audience knows that already. I want to reiterate it. It's from being a whole and integrated, present in the moment person.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah. And that's embodiment too. Always going back to that.
That's exactly right. And you know, the thing is about leadership, we don't have a lot of examples of leaders who are integrated. And that's what we need more of. That's what the call is. We need those leaders who are pure in their intentions and know themselves so to the deepest part of their souls and can stay centered and stay grounded and stay true to the vision and to the calling, no matter what is being thrown their way, no matter what chaos is going on around them.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's actually the answer to the question of the delusional concept of the saturation of the market. There's not enough of us doing this work. So if you've ever had that thought into your mind, just recognize it as an ego distortion that it is. And you are being called. If you're listening to this, you are definitely being called and you are being asked to say yes. And in full faith and trust, allow yourself to be led and lead this new age that so desperately needs you, so desperately.
That's right. We are literally in a new era. And we're also in an evolutionary bottleneck. And we're all feeling it. And if you're not feeling it, you're not paying attention. Mm. It's here. It's happening. It's now. There has never been a more opportune time to be alive. If you are feeling disempowered, that is an easy fix. But you have to make the decision that you are going to follow the feeling and trust it and know that it is on purpose.
Yeah. What a beautiful way to conclude the conversation. I usually ask what would be the biggest takeaway you'd like to leave with the listener, and that right there sums it all up. That was so beautiful and brilliant. And I love these types of conversations when I'm with such an activated leader, because so much, although the listener may hear the word, so much has transpired. It feels like has been multiple lifetimes and grid lines collapsed all at once. And so those of you who are listening across all time and space know that there is an experience that's happening for you in your energy body as you're tuned in, and that there are shifts already occurring, and that you just listening is you already saying that first yes. So I salute you. I honor you. Thank you so much for coming on and for joining me on this really beautiful conversation. It's been wonderful, Kelsey. Is there anything you want to share? I know that I'm going to give the listeners access to how they can connect with you in the show notes. And then you also shared a free tool called the Energy Audit that any of them can download. And this tool will help give more results than just anything else that they've ever tried. And so speak to that. What does that mean? What is an energy audit, and how can they expect to see results from it?
Yeah. So the Energy Audit is designed as a feedback tool, and it's a weekly exercise. This is a tool that my clients tell me has given them more results than just about anything else that they work with. Having an immediate feedback loop is actually a flow state activator. And it is a way that we can hold ourselves accountable. It's a way that we can review our performance. It's a way that we can facilitate easy and fluid expansion and evolution. So this is a really potent, really strategic exercise with really intentional questions for you to implement every week. It's really simple, and it's really, I don't do fluff. I am obsessed with efficiency, and it's really, really effective, and it doesn't take much time.
Yeah, I love that. It sounds like the marriage of the logical and spiritual to really create massive results, which is important. We can't have one without the other.
Yeah, 100%. The other thing that I want to say, and this is the last thing that I'm feeling really called to say, is that, look, if you are feeling stuck or you are struggling in any way, there is conflict inside of you on any level, know that because we're in this new era, the old model isn't working anymore. We're being called to create the new model. That's the new paradigm that we're constantly talking about, right? We are being called to lead the creation of it. And it's difficult feeling, and I want to make that distinction. It doesn't have to be difficult, but it feels difficult because we have been programmed by the old model. We are holding ourselves to old standards until we start to really do the work to break out of those patternings and those conditionings. That's all it is. That's all it is. And so the moment that you claim it, the moment that you take the step in the direction that you feel to go in, things will shift in your favor. And I am telling you, it happens super fucking quickly.
Yum. Yummy, yummy, yummy. What a delicious conclusion. So that, my dears, is your biggest takeaway. Yes. Oh, that was so wonderful. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you for letting me come on and do my rambling, because that's my shit.
Of course. I love it. And it's perfect. And the listener is going to get so much out of not even the conversation, but all the energy that we exchanged and all of what occurred across all time and space. I felt it all in my body. And if you haven't subscribed, please do so below. Weekly updates, sometimes more than once a week, because there are so many beautiful souls I want to get out into the world and share their gifts with those who need them. Subscribe below, and until next time, signing off, Jonna.